Begin the current daven, sechtes minachas daven, tzadi test. Begin nine lines down at the top of the yamid. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daven. And that is, we describe, we were talking about the halachas of the Shulchan in the base of Migdosh. We said that besides the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was made in the times of the Midbar by the Mishkan, Shlema Melech made 10 more Shulchanas. So on that, the Gemara continues and says, Tarna ban, learn the braisa. Asar Shulchanas asar Shlema. Shlema Melech, as we brought from a pasuk, made 10 more tables. But they didn't organize the 12 showbreads, the lechem upon them, only on the shulchan that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. Shnemar, says the pasuk Melachim Aleph. It says, "Vesal shulchan asher olav lechem upon them." The table which on it was the lechem upon them was zav, was gold. Now it says it in the singular, the shulchan. Obviously, we're talking about the one that's singular, that of Moshe Rabbeinu, not the plural, not the 10 that Shlema Melech had made. So to esem menoris asher Shlema, as we brought in the previous stav, Shlema Melech made 10 different menoris. But they only lit, which every single night they would light the menorah, only the one that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Shanem, like says the pasuk in Divrei Yom HaBeis, says menorahs hazav menorasel, the golden menorah and its lamps, levar be'erv, to ignite it in the evening. You see, it says in the singular, referring to that one that Moshe Rabbeinu had made. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, he disagrees. He says, no, al kulam hayu mesadrin. No, they would organize the showbreads on all the tables, meaning sometimes on this one and sometimes on that one. Shlomo says the pasuk in Divrei Yom HaBeis says es haShulchan is the tables va'aleihem lechem upon them, and on them are the showbreads. So you see that it was on all the tables. So too ubekulin hoymadlikin, they would light any one of those 10 menorahs. Shlomo says the pasuk after that, it says es haMenorahs v'Nerusam, the menorahs and their lamps levarim kemishpat lefnei hadvir, to ignite them according to their rule be in front of the kodesh hakodeshim zav sagar, closed gold. So you see that all of them were lit. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, he says no, like the Talmud Kama, he says, Lohay Mesadne El Ashal Moshe. They only organize the breads on the Shulchan that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Elaman Mekayim, then what do I do with the Pasig that Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua had brought that says, Ves Ashalchanis, and the Gir says, Va'aleim Lechem upon them, the tables, and on them were the breads? And the Girsa takes out the word Zav. Oh, that's a different plurality. It's not referring to the other 10 tables that Shlomo Melech made. Elu shlei shulchan shei b'mikdash. These are the 3 tables that were always in the base of Mikdash. Shnayim shahay b'ulam. There were 2 that were in the antechamber, which was the outer area when you came into the sanctuary before you walked into the main sanctuary called the Heichal, which was mibifnim, in the inner part of it, meaning all the way in the back, which was, as the Girsa has, al pesach habayis, by the entryway of the house itself, of the sanctuary. Echad shel kesef ve'echad shel zav. One was made out of silver and one was made out of gold. Now, although the coming Mishnah is going to say it's actually made out of marble, not out of silver, but as Rashi explains, since marble is white like silver, therefore it calls it silver. But there was one of marble or silver and there was one of gold. Al shel kesef nisin lechem upon mechnisas. And the silver one, they would put the showbreads on it when they would be entering, meaning when they get to the entryway, where the ulam is like some type of like a hallway coming in, they would put the breads down and they would take a rest over there, and they would put it down on the kesef one. Val shel zav bitziyasei, and the other one there in the antechamber, they would put on the golden one when they were leaving, so meaning they would put it down over there until they went and sacrificed the bezichim, which are the spoonfuls of frankincense, which that's what allows the breads to be eaten, as the Mishnah says later on. And then they would go ahead and divide amongst the kohanim to eat. Now, the reason why it was done like this is because Shemalin b'Kodesh, we elevate in areas of holiness, of sanctity. For example, like when he was coming in with the lechem upon him, first they would put it down on the silver table. Then when they got to the sanctuary, they would put it on the table that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, which was plated with gold, which is an elevation. V'loy meridin, and we don't downgrade. Therefore, when they left with the lechem upon him on the following Shabbos, they would put it down on a golden one because you couldn't downgrade it to the silver one. And that was 2 tables. And echad shel zav befnim. And then you had the golden one, which was in the inside. Shalav lechem apanim tamei, which the lechem apanim was always on that one. And there was not a difficulty from the pasuk that sounds like in the plurality. Because yes, they put it, but not in the permanence in the 10 tables of Shlomo Melech. It means the other 2 tables that were utilized in the procession of bringing the lechem apanim in and out, those were the other tables that we're referring to in the plural, that the lechem apanim was put on it. Now, says the Gemara, Manolim de Imaridin, where do we know this concept that we're saying that we don't downgrade, and therefore, on their way out, they couldn't put it back on the silver one, they had to go stay and maintain on gold? So Amar Rebbe says, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, Vayokim Moshe es Mishkan. Moshe erected the Mishkan, the tabernacle, Vayitin es Adonav, and he put, those are the supports of the beams, Vayosim es Krashav, and he put the planks, Vayitin es Brichav, and he put the beams, Vayokim es Amudav, and he put the poles, which were all the different parts of the Mishkan. So there's actually three different interpretations in Rashi. We see from this pasuk that ein maridin. First interpretation, he says, from the fact that the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk both use the terminology of hakama, of vayakim, of erection, which is saying that even in the terminology that we use, we don't want to downgrade, because we want to maintain the element of hakama, so that you see ein maridin. Or another interpretation is that we find that none of the Kahanim supported Moshe Benu in putting up the poles and the beams. Only he did it, as the pasuk says. Obviously, because ein maridin. Therefore, we couldn't have anyone else involved, because once Moshe Benu started, to have anyone else would be a downgrade. Or a third interpretation is, in the beginning of the pasuk, it says, Vayakam Moshe es ha-mishkan, that he erected the Mishkan. Now, what does it mean, the Mishkan? That is, we find elsewhere, that's referring to the ureus, to the curtains that are on the top, to that which is the covering of the Mishkan, which he first put out the ureus. Now, he did not take him down when he was busy putting up the poles and the pillars. Rather, he held the ureus in his hand all the time until he put everything up. So you see, ein maridin, you don't take it down. Once he put it up, although he had to do things down, which you would normally put it down and put it up afterwards, he didn't take it down. Those are three different interpretations of this pasuk that you see ein maridin. Now, u'menolim demalon, and where do you see that you have to upgrade in the areas of Kedusha? We understand once it was put on the Shulchan Azav, you can't take it down from that. How do we know? But when you're coming in, you have to upgrade, as if you put it first on the silver one and then go up to the gold one of the Shulchan Shel Moshe. So Amar B'Chava Yaakov says, because Amakra, Pasuk says in Bamidbar, Esmachtes Hachatom Ma'ilu B'Nafshayisim. This refers to the Adas Kerech, the assembly of Kerech, that Moshe Rabbeinu had them all take pans full of Keteris, and they all passed away, besides that of Aaron HaKain. So the Moshe Rabbeinu was told that all the pans of these sinners who sinned against their own souls, so he was told that they should gather it. And they should make out of these pans, they should flatten them out and make it plating to cover the altar. Because these were used to sacrifice in front of Hashem, and they're sanctified. This should be a reminder for the Jewish people regarding what happens when someone does such a thing regarding bringing Keteris, which is not commanded, in front of Hashem. But one thing you see is, Betchila Tashmish Mizbeach, first these pans were just things that were ancillary, they were things that were secondary, they assisted the altar. Because those were things that were used to bring the Keteris on the Mizbeach. And now, since it was used for Vayikdashu, for areas of sanctity, it was elevated and now became part of the altar itself. It was now the plating on the Mizbeach. You see the concept of Mailin Bakaydash. Now, continuing our later discussion, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Devarim. Pasuk says that Hashem says to Moshe Beinu that I'll write on the Luchas all the words, the Aser Sadibris, which were on the first Luchas, which Hashem says, Asher Shibartu, which you broke, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down and saw the Jewish people doing the Egel, he smashed the Luchas, and Vesamtim Baron, and you put it into the Aron. Now, simply, it would sound like that would be going on the new Luchas. But it sounds like, based on the previous words, Asher Shibartu, that which you broke, Vesamtim Baron, sounds like that he should put the broken Luchas, the first ones, into the Aron, into the Ark. So Tanya of Yisub Torah Braisa, Malam, this teacher, Shal Luchas, Vishivri Luchas, Menachem Baron. Not just the regular luchas, which were the new ones, the whole intact ones, but even the broken ones were also placed in the ark. What does this teach us? Mikan, from here we see Latamu Chacham Shashachach Talmudai, a Talmudic scholar who forgot his learning, Machmas Einzai, due to something beyond his control, She'ein Noigen by meaning Bezoin, that we don't treat it in a disgraceful way. So to hear the luchas beyond its control had to be broken, but it was still put into the ark. Now the Gemara continues, Simon and Amanik, with the following three teachings that are by Rish Lakish, all related to this topic of Talmid Chacham and Taira. Bitel, he stopped. Sarach, he soured. Feshachach, and he forgot. So Amar Rish Lakish, he says, Pam, sometimes the Ketin Talmid Beis, Shebitula Shal Taira, that the nullification, the stopping of learning Taira, for example, if someone who stops learning Taira, what's called Haitzoah Sameis Ulachnasas Kala, which Allah tells us, to either go out and bury someone or part of Levaya, or to help out with a Kala getting married, Zehu Yisai, that sometimes the nullification of Torah is its foundation. In other words, that person will receive reward as if he was sitting and founding and grounding and toiling in Torah. Because still, like it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, Hashem said, as we just quoted that Pasuk, Asher Shibarta, that which you broke. Now, he didn't say it to him in an angry way, obviously, because the Divine Presence agreed to Moshe Rabbeinu when he nullified the Torah and he broke the Luchas, since his intention was for the good. As the Gemara says in Yevamos, that Moshe Rabbeinu made a Kavachayim by himself, and he says, look, If the Karban Pesach, which is only one mitzvah, the Torah says, Kol ben nechel lo yechel, but whoever is estranged from Hashem cannot eat from the Karban Pesach. Here we're talking about the whole entire Torah, and we're talking about the whole Jewish people are rebellious. Obviously, they cannot have the Torah, and that's why he broke it. So, Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Yiyashu Keichacha Sheshibarta, which the word Asha could be read, that of strengthening. Your power should be strengthened that you broke it. He was actually proud of him, that the bitl of the Torah that he made was actually the Yisoid, was actually the foundation of the Torah. Another teaching, Vam Rish Lakish, he says, Tamachachem Shesarach, Tamalik scholar, who sinned, Ein Mevaz Noisa B'Fehesu, we don't disgrace him in public. Shemalek says, the Pasuk in Hosea. Says, V'chashalta hayem, you stumbled today. V'chashal gam novi imchal laila. And also your prophet, the Talmudic scholars, they also stumble at nighttime. What that teaches, what do I mean nighttime? Kiso kalaila, cover over it as if it's nighttime, meaning we don't disgrace a Talmudic scholar who sinned to go ahead and disgrace him in public. Rather, we cover it over it as if it's nighttime. Now, Vamash Lakish, another teaching of Vamash Lakish is, Kala Mashacheach dove echad mitalmudai. Whoever forgets one thing from his learnings, Oiva Balav. Violates a negative prohibition. Why? Shlemet says the pasuk in Devarim. It says, "Hisham alecha, should be careful, u'shmei nafshach ma'od, and you should take care with your soul very much." Pentishka chesedvam, you might forget these words, referring to the words of Torah that you heard at Har Sinai. Now, moreover, could Rabbi Avin Amar Bilah, the Amar Bavin Amar Bilah, he says, "Kamakum shlemet hisham ar pen va'al." Whatever it says, one of these three terminologies, take care, lest, or don't. In the Eloise, it's referring to a negative prohibition not to do this. And therefore, since it says regarding forgetting your learning, Tishka Chazadoram, it says the terminology of Hishamar. So therefore, it's a negative prohibition for one to forget his learning. Not Ravinam, he says Hishamar upen shnei lavininu. It says not just Hishamar, it says pen too. It's actually two negative prohibitions. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says b'shleish lavin, three negative prohibitions. Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk, Hishamar lecha ushmoy nafshecha ma'id. Pen tishka chesedvam, so it says hishamar, ushmar, and pen, and therefore there's three negative prohibitions there in that pasuk. Now, but yochel afilu machmas ansa, you would think even if this was beyond the person's control, sometimes something happens to the person that if he gets his learning but beyond his control, tamalem as the pasuk teaches, no, it says ufen yisur mulavcha, that maybe you're going to remove it from your heart, which is b'mesir maliba kasmadav. The pasuk is talking about someone who actively goes and removes it from its heart, that's the person who is violating this, but someone who beyond his control, if he gets his learning, is not included. Now, he says, you would think, however, but included in the prohibition is even someone who can't contain his learning. He forgets it, but not because of the anus, just it's beyond him. You would think that he would still be violating this prohibition. That's it says, the terminology of rak, rak is exclusionary terminology, just, but, which is excluding that of takval of mishnase, who's also not part of that prohibition of forgetting his learning. Now, continuing on this theme, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Loza, the Amit Havaya, they both say, Torah nitna barbon. The Torah was given in 40 days, and Moshe Rabbeinu went in 40 days to Har Sinai. Up to Shemayim from Har Sinai. Now, v'neshama nitza barbon. The soul is also formed in 40 days, as the Gemara says in Nidin Daflam and Ranav, the formation of the child is only after 40 days, which is when neshama is already going into the person, is considered a person in the womb. So therefore, we find the parallel of 40 and 40, which tells us, kol ha-mashamet ha-rasa, whoever safeguards his learning, nishmasim mishtameres, then his soul is safeguarded. V'choshe ein mishamet ha-tayra, whoever does not safeguard his tayra, ein nishmasim mishtameres, then his soul is not safeguarded. Which soul is dependent on the teaching of the tayra to go ahead and help a person direct him in this life, which is what neshama does for the person's body. Now, Tan Rabbi Shmuel, we learned the Brisa of Shibi Bishmol, who says, Mashal Adam, this could be a parable to a person, Shemasit Sriper Dror La'avda, who gave over this expensive bird, this unique bird called a Tzibit Dror, some say it's like a swallow, he gives it to his slave. So Amar, he says, Kemedumata, you think, he says to his slave, Shematam Avda, if you lose this bird, Shani Naitamamcha Issa B'demah, I'm only going to take an Issa, which is a certain amount of money, which is not so much, from its value. He says, no. I'm going to take your soul from you. That's how important it is to me. And that's the same thing. A person's Torah is not just he's not learning Torah, it's his whole life, it's his whole soul, and therefore, that's why they're both with the number 40. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme about the Shulchan that was in the Beis HaMikdash. So as we mentioned before, Shnei Shulchanos Hayu Be'ulam. The Mishnah says there were these two tables in the antechamber, Mibifnim, in the innermost part of it, Al Pesach HaBayis, which was right near the entryway of the Heichel, which was what the antechamber went into, which is the sanctuary itself. Now, Echad Shel Shayish, Vechad Shel Zav, as we said, one, we called it silver because it was white, but one was marble and one was gold. On the marble one, they would put the bread on it as they were entering into the Heichal. Now, the only reason why they put it down over there was actually only to illustrate the concept of Maila Makaydish. Because now we're putting down a marble, and then when we're carrying it to the sanctuary, we're going to put it on a golden one, that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, they would put on the golden one when they were leaving. And the reason why then they had to put it down was because they had to wait until they sacrificed the spoonfuls of the frankincense, as we're going to say later on, which only then could they kind of go ahead and eat the breads. And as we said, because this is the concept of Shemayla Mekodesh V'lo Meridin, we upgrade in sanctity and we don't downgrade. And then there was a third one, there was the golden one inside, that was where the bread was always kept throughout the week, constantly, from one Shabbos to the next. Now, V'arba kahan nechnasin. On Shabbos itself, four kahan would enter. Shnayim biyad mishnei sedarim. So two of them had in their hands the two orders of the breads, which each order had six breads, for a total of 12. V'shnayim biyad mishnei bezich. And then two of them came in with the two spoonfuls, one with each spoon, of frankincense. Now, but then there was another four kahan. V'arba magdim lefneim. There was four kahan who would go in front of them. Shnayim litol shnei sedarim. Two to take away last week's two orders of bread. V'shnayim litol shnei bezich, and then two of them to take away last week's two spoonfuls of frankincense. Now, hamachnisim oim demitzafen. Those who are coming to bring the new breads and the new spoonfuls of frankincense, they'd be on the northern part of the Heichal, which that's more appropriate, where those who are doing the Avodah right now, who are organizing and putting things as a service in front of Hashem, should be in the northern part, because the northern part of the Azara always has the greater sanctity, like Kacha Kachim is Lord in the north. Now, ufneim ledarm. And they were facing towards the south. Now, as Rashi points out, this is going as the Imam Dama, who says that the Shulchanos, which we discussed this in the previous daf, were going from east to west, which means to say that their width was north and south. So those who are coming now to put on, they were on the northern side. So basically their back is right there by the northern wall, and they're facing towards one side of the Shulchan. Vamitzian, and those who are taking out last week's breads and frankincense, I'm the Medarim Ufanim Betzavin. They're standing on the southern part of the table and facing towards the north. Now, Elu Maishchin, so those who are taking out last week's would be pulling. Now, before they even get a chance to take it off from the table, the Elu Manichin, those who are putting on, already putting it on. V'tifcha Shalzeh k'neged tifcha Shalzeh, and the tefach of this one is opposite this one's tefach, meaning it would be contiguous. As this one's taking off, this one's already putting on. Shemak says in the pasuk in Shemais, "Lefanai tamid." The bread has to be in front of me constantly, so it always has to be bread. So the moment this was going off, this is coming on, and there's never a hefsek. Rabbi Yisrael, he disagrees. He says, "No, I feel it elu neitlin. Even if these already took it off for themselves, the breads and the bezichin, the elu manichin, and then these put on after they already took it off. Afi hoisa tamid." He says that's also considered constant. As the Gemara is going to explain later on, constant doesn't mean every second. It just means that there should never be a night goes by without having bread on it. Now, Yatsu, when they left, V'nasnum al shulchan hazav shahay ba'ulam. Then, like we said, when they were leaving with the breads, they would put it down on the golden table, which was in the antechamber. And then, hiktira bezich, and then they would burn the frankincense on the fires of the Mizbeach. And then, v'achalas mischalkas tekan, then the loaves would be divided amongst the kahan. Now, says the Mishnah, let's say Chal Yom Kippurim leis b'Shabbos, but let's say Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos when you can't eat on that day because you have to fast, then Achalas Mischalkas L'Erev, then the loaves are divided in the evening, meaning, and not the next day, because then they become invalidated with Lina by being left overnight. Now, although it's there the whole week, but only becomes possible once it's taken off from the Shulchan. Now, says the Mishnah, related Halacha, once it's on Yom Kippur and Shabbos, Chal Liyis b'Erev Shabbos, if Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos on a Friday, then Sa'ir Shal Yom Kippurim, the he-goat of Yom Kippur, which is the Musaf carbon, which is a karmachatas, which that's the Sa'ir HaNasa B'chutz, which is done outside its blood, not inside like some of the other karbanas, and its meat is eaten by the kahanim, Nechol Le'erev, it's eaten in the evening, can't be eaten on Yom Kippur, because one's not allowed to eat, it's eaten on Friday night. Now, although one cannot cook on Shabbos, but Havahabavliyim, the kahanim that were the Babylonians, Oichon Oisik Shuchai, they would eat it raw, because if Yom Kippur is Erev Shabbos, you can't eat it on Yom Kippur, and you can't do that malacha, and neither can you go ahead and cook it on Shabbos. And the reason why they would eat it raw is when they should dieten yafa, because they're not, as it's called, fastidious. They're not so particular. They're pretty easygoing, and therefore they would eat raw meat, and they were the ones who would eat that carbon because there was no way to cook it. Now we learned in the Braisa, Tanya, that Rabbi Yisi Oimer, he says, explained the halacha of our Mishnah, which his opinion was quoted. He says that, afila silik ase yeshana. He says that even if last week's breads that were taken off now, which we call the old breads, even if they're taken off Shachris in the morning on Shabbos, and then they organize and they put on the new breads only in the evening, there's no problem. How do I then resolve the pasuk? It says it has to be in front of me. Hashem says the breads constantly. It just means shalayol, and it shouldn't stay out overnight. Shulchan b'leilachem, to have the table without any breads. That's considered constantly. And as the Gemara says, he says, Mendivar v'shal b'yisi, from the words of Rabbi Yisi, that he says that as long as the old breads were there a little bit in the morning on the table, and the new ones are there a little bit in the evening at night time, that's considered tamid. So nimma, we can learn the following halacha. Even if someone only learns one chapter of Torah in the morning and one chapter in the evening, he fulfills the mitzvah that says in Sefer Yeshua regarding learning Torah, this Sefer Torah should never be removed from your mouth, as the Pasuk there continues, you should toil in the day and night. That's considered day and night, although it sounds like every second. No, that's considered tamid if you learn once in the morning and once in the evening. Now, Amr B'yechad Meshim B'shim Ben Yoichi, he says, moreover, he says, Afil Lekara Adam, El Kriya Shema Shachas V'Avis, even if a person only recites the recital of Shema in the morning and the evening, Kaim Layamash has fulfilled, not removing the words of Torah, which Shema is that, in the morning and the evening. But Rabbi Yechad then says, V'dav Ezeh Asal Amr B'fnei Am Aretz, you're not allowed to say over such a teaching in front of ignoramuses, because that they shouldn't say, oh, learning Torah is enough with just saying Kriya Shema? So he's not going to accustom and get his son to learn Torah. He's going to say, what's the big deal? Just say Kriya Shema in the morning and Kriya Shema in the evening. So therefore, one shouldn't say it, because people then might be mistaken and think that there's no utility in learning Torah if you could just fulfill the obligation saying Kriya Shema in the morning and the evening. No. For Rav Amma, he disagrees. He says, no, mitzvah l'amr f'nei Am Aretz. He says, actually, a positive commandment to go ahead and say it in front of an Am Aretz. Why? Because the Am Aretz is going to think to himself, wait a second. If you're telling me this pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, Perakal Pasuk Ches, is talking about Begisa B'yom Alayla, means just saying Kriya Shema in the morning, evening, that you get such a great reward that says over there in the pasuk, Ki Az Tatzlich Es Darkecha, that you'll be so successful in your ways. So he's thinking, wait a second. If just saying Kriya Shema in the morning and evening gives me so much success, imagine if I learned Torah in the entire day, who knows what great reward I would have, and for sure he's going to accustom his sons to learn the words of Torah. Or another interpretation is that he's going to think to himself, wait a second. If a person can fulfill his obligation, just saying Kriya Shema in the morning and the evening, why are these rabbis learning Torah the entire day? Obviously, there's something they know that I don't know, and how much great reward there must be. And therefore, to the contrary, if he hears this halacha, it's not going to make him learn less Torah, but actually, to the contrary, make him learn more Torah. Containing this theme of this pasuk and regarding the obligation of how much Torah to learn, so Shaul ben Dama. Ben Dama asked, who he was Ben Achaisis Rabbi Shmuel, he was the son of the sister, he was the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel. Asked Rabbi Shmuel, he asked his uncle Rabbi Shmuel as follows. He says, Kogayna ni, for example, someone like me, Shalamadati Kalatari Kula, I learned the entire Torah. Mao Lilmat Chachmas Yavanas. What's the halacha? Could I learn the wisdom, the Greek wisdom? Could I spend my time learning that? So Karla Vamikra Azeh, he recited on him this pasuk that we quoted before. Lo yomesh seifa tera zemepich, you should not remove this Torah scroll from your mouth. V'gisa b'yom alayla, you should toil in it day and night. So Rabbi Shmuel told him, tzeu badik shah, go and find him a time, she'enu lo yomel yom v'lemel alayla. That's not day or night. I mean, day and night, it says you have to learn Torah. But go and find a time, that's not day and night, which basically is saying there is no such thing in the world. And belamed b'chachma yavamas, and then go learn the Greek wisdom. Now, the Gemara tells the Pliga, this teaching Rabbi Shmuel, that basically is saying that there's an obligation to learn Torah the entire day and night, disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni. Because the Amar Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar B'yenison, he says, pasuk that this pasuk Rabbi Shmuel is basing his halacha on, Eino loy chayva v'loy mitzvah. It's not an obligation or a commandment. Ela bracha. It's referring to something different. It's a blessing. Raha HaKadosh Baruch is Yeshua, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Yeshua, and this is what this pasuk there is in Sefer Yeshua, that Shadivir Torah Chaviv Malah B'Yesi, he saw that the words of Torah are very dear to him. How do we know that? Shadim, like, says the pasuk in Shemais, says the Mesharsa Yeshua Benun Nar, and the attendant of Moshe Benu was Yeshua Benun, who was a youth. L'yamish Mitechael, he never removed himself from the tent of where Moshe Benu was, or where he was learning Torah. He was, every second he wanted to learn Torah from Moshe Benu. So Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Yeshua, kol kach chavivna lecha divri Torah, so dear are the words of Torah to you? Lo yomesh seva Torah zemepichas, they gave him a blessing. He guaranteed him that, don't worry, the words of Torah will never be removed from you. And therefore you don't see from this pasuk that there's an obligation or a mitzvah to learn Torah all day, according to his interpretation. Rather, it was a blessing, it was avtacha to Yeshua. Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, we learn the Brayse of Shiva Bishmol that he says, Divri Torah, the words of Torah, Layu Alecha Cheva, should not be like an obligation, like a debt to say, oh, when am I going to pay this off? When am I going to be done with this? A person shouldn't say, let me get over with learning this blot, learning this chapter. Because v'iyat rishoy lifter atzmacha mehen. You can't just exempt yourself from it. That's not the way the words of Torah on. Torah is beautiful. Torah is something that you should be dying to do, not as a debt just like to get done with. Now, Amachiski, he says, what's in the pasuk in Iyev that says, v'af hasischa mipitza, that he also entices you from the narrow opening, rachav in its width, le'mutzik tachteh, there's no narrowing beneath it. What does this mean? So he says, b'yirei, come and see. Shaloi k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basav adam. The way of Hashem is very different than a flesh and blood like a human being. Midas basav adam, the way it is by people, adam meitzes his chaver. When is a person enticing his friend? The term hasasa, enticing, is always in negativity. Like the pasuk in Devarim Yud Gimel says, ki sischa chicha benimecha, if your stepbrother, he's going to entice you, meaning it's always midarche chem ledarche misa. It's that he's taking away from the path of life to the path of death. He's trying to seduce you, to entice you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu meises his ha'odim medarche misa ledarche HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other hand, he tries enticing and seducing a person from the ways of death to the ways of life. Shalom, like it says in this pasuk, v'af hasischa, that he also entices you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to learn Torah, because he wants to save you from Gehenna, from purgatory, which, as the pasuk says, mipitzar, from the narrow opening. What does that mean? Migehenim, from Gehenim shepitzar, which has a narrow opening. Now, why does it have a narrow opening? So that it should be shashonet tzavar, as the Gemara continues, top of Kof Manalv, betaycha, that the smoke should be gathered inside of it, meaning that it should not escape, so that the wicked should be judged with fire and with smoke. Now, b'shem ha'tayim, maybe you're going to say, well, k'shem shepitzar, just like the opening of Gehenim is narrow, kach kulatzar, maybe it's all narrow, maybe it's not so big, it's not going to be so dangerous. Tamalema, that's the pasuk teacher in Yeshaya. It says, hemik, it's deep, hirchiv, it's wide. So meaning when it comes to the depth, it widens up. And we know the pasuk talking about Gehenim, because the beginning of the pasuk says, ki arach me'et mol tafte, that tafte is already had been prepared from before, which tafte is a terminology of Gehenim, because it's a place of pitu where all those who were seduced fall into. Now, b'shem ha'tem, maybe you're going to say, okay, but lamelech, for the king, which actually, the term melech refers to Talmudic scholars, like the pasuk says in Mishlei Ches, "Bi melachim yimleichu." The Torah says, "In me, the nobility are crowned," which refers to Talmudic scholars. That maybe you're going to say, but for a Talmud Chacham who has removed himself from the path of Torah, maybe lehu chana. Maybe for such a person, Gehenna was not prepared. Maybe such a person is not going to be judged in Gehenna. Talmud Lema, as the pasuk says over there, "Gam hi lemelech uchan." It's even prepared for the king. Now, b'shem ha'tem, maybe you say imba etzim, but there's no wood over there to burn as fire. Tamalem, as it says in the pasuk over there, midurasa eish ve'etzim harba. Its place is a fiery furnace, and it's full of wood. Now, b'shem ha'tem, maybe you're going to say zehuschar. Maybe that's the whole reward of learning Torah, that you only save from Gehenna, but there's no other reward for it. Tamalem, as the pasuk teaches in Eiv, no, v'nachas shulchancha, and your table will be glad and moly deshen, full of delicacies. It's not just saving from Gan. When a person learns Torah, he gets incredible, indescribable pleasure and joy in the world to come, in Gan Eden. Now, the Mishnah concluded by saying that if Chal Yom Kippur Mlis B'Shabbos B'Chulu, if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, then it's different than they wouldn't divide the bread that day, but rather the evening. And then it says if Yom Kippur falls on Erev Shabbos, what they would do was that, so they couldn't eat because Yom Kippur, so they couldn't eat the Sar, but they couldn't cook it on Friday night because it's already Shabbos, so they would actually, the Bavlim would eat it raw. Now, Amar Rabbah B'chanam B'yichan, it says, Lo Bavlim him. Well, actually, it wasn't the Babylonians. El Alexandrium him. The ones who would eat it raw were actually the Alexandrians from Egypt. But a Mitech Shesayin this Bavlim, since they hated the Babylonians, so Karinaisim, they would call the Alexandrians, who did this way of being so ravenous, of eating raw meat, they called the Mashem Bavlim as if they were the Babylonians. Tanahoch is similar in the Brice, Rabbi Yisrael, he says, Lo Bavlim him, they actually weren't the Babylonians. El Alexandrium him, rather they were Alexandrians of Egypt. But since they hated the Babylonians, they called them as if they were the Babylonians. And normally Rabbi Huda said to him, because Rabbi Huda's family was from Bavel, therefore he was very happy with what Rabbi Yisrael was saying, he said, Tanuch Daitcha, let your consciousness be at ease, that you calm me down, because I was all concerned that what's going on, my fellow family members from Babylon are eating in this ravenous way, and now that you told me it really wasn't the Babylonians, rather they just had something against them, but really it was the Alexandrians, you calm me down that they don't have such a custom of eating raw meat in that way, and therefore he was saying that blessing, Tanuch Daitcha, Shehinach Daitcha.